On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited to be by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Some of you may know that last week, I worked to move onto the Marist campus a group of students who arrived a week early for a special program that I was responsible for organizing. Part of this program included going to Dutchess Stadium on Friday night for a ball game. And it happened to be Rascal's birthday. Rascal the raccoon, in case you don't know, is the Renegades mascot. Joining Rascal for his special birthday night were four other local mascots. And of course, all of us sitting in the stands for the game. And I don't know if any of you have gone to a Renegades game, but between the innings, they have all kinds of little contests and pieces of entertainment for the spectators. Because it was Rascal's birthday, one of the between inning games was a typical birthday party game, musical hula hoops for the mascots. So now, musical hula hoops is just like musical chairs. It's just that there are hula hoops that are placed down on the ground rather than chairs, because it's really hard for mascots to sit down in those costumes. So the first round starts. The music starts. The music stops. Mascot one is eliminated. Round two, mascot two is eliminated. Round three, mascot three is eliminated, and now it's just Rascal and Hugo, the SUNY New Paltz Hawk. The music starts, it plays, and it plays, and it plays, and they're eyeing each other around the hula hoop, and it stops. As they both go to jump toward the hoop, Rascal, that thieving raccoon, he grabs the hula hoop, tripping up the hawk, and moves the hula hoop to where he can easily put it on the ground and jump in it and win. And as I was thinking about today's gospel reading and just life in general, I realized that what we witnessed in that little game of musical hula hoops among the mascots was human life so often in a nutshell, or in a hula hoop ring, as the case may be. We like to be winners. We like to be at the top. And even more, we don't want to be left out. We don't want to not have a seat or a hula hoop. And sometimes, in our desire to have that seat, we trip up others and change the rules. Or maybe we've been tripped up and had the rules changed on us. Of course, the whole reason musical chairs is a competition is because there aren't enough seats. And in life, how often do we hear stories of scarcity propagated by those who can use that story to their advantage? But God's love doesn't work that way. There is always enough God. Christ's sacrifice on the cross is not limited. And when we work together, neither are our resources. And while part of the fight to be the one with the final chair is out of fear of scarcity, it is also about pride, about desiring to be seen as the most important. In Jesus' time, when there was a banquet, each seat was not equal. The seats or the cushions were set up in a U shape, and in the middle of the curve of the U, that is where the host would sit. The closer you were to the host, the more important you were as a person, right? Those seats closest to the host were those places of honor. So there may have been plenty of places for everyone at the feast overall. There were never enough seats of honor for those who believed they should have a seat of honor. And as Jesus is participating in this banquet that he's been invited to as a guest of the Pharisee on the Sabbath, he's watching this firsthand, the jockeying over where each of the guests are going to sit and how they are going to share how they see themselves in the hierarchy of who has been invited to this party. And in the midst of this, he decides to make public comment through a parable to teach about what he is witnessing. Jesus isn't just giving an etiquette lesson. He's telling everyone present when we decide that we are better than others, and maybe we think that because we work harder or have a nicer house, have a more professional job, have a larger bank account, or whatever we might be using to do what human society tells us to do, rank ourselves against others. When we do this, Jesus is reminding us all that our ranking system will never be the same as God's unless we are embodying the reality that all are equal in God's eyes. There are no limits to the available chairs or hula hoops or seat cushions, and there are certainly no limits to places of honor in God's kingdom. And Jesus drives this point home further in the next parable. He turns the focus away from how to behave as a guest to how we should be behaving as hosts. And I expect that few of us in here actually throw parties and invite specific people so that they can repay us in some way. But there are plenty of places where this is still the case. I can imagine the planning that goes on and putting together a guest list by politicians, by movie stars, by athletes. And not only because they might get a nice dinner in return, but also because this opens doors for other opportunities. And it's not just dinner parties or wedding celebrations where we see this. Who are the people who most often get invited to be on the boards of trustees or advisors of large organizations, including not-for-profits? Even when the organization is created to bring greater justice to those who don't have voices, the people who are most often invited to the table are people with money and prestige. I actually know of some boards where part of being able to be invited to join that board is to be able to give generously and have friends who will also give generously. And I get it, right? Because of how our society is ordered, organizations, they need money. And they need others to help get their names out there and to be able to do what they feel called to do. But I think Luke, in this gospel, is including stories and parables like this as a reminder, as a caution to everyone to never forget that ultimately we are to be inviting those who others would not invite. Maybe even those that we wouldn't typically consider inviting ourselves. And as I said just a little bit earlier, right, I'm really excited about my very first Lutheran Family Fun Day. Besides just looking forward to having a great time, I'm really excited that this invitation has gone out for anyone in the neighborhood. I'm excited that this is a chance for people who may never get invited to a party to come and join us in the feast of hot dogs and potato chips. A chance for those who may never get a place of honor to know that they have a place of honor in our eyes and in God's kingdom. This is a chance to do something opposite of what musical chairs or musical hula hoops does. And we may never know the impact that we'll have on some of the people who will join us on that Saturday. And that brings us to one other lesson in these few verses, and that is the lesson of humbling oneself. Being humble is not about hating on ourselves or beating ourselves down, but it means that we recognize that no one person is more important than another, that we are all humans and we are all God's beloved children. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with Quakerism, and I'm only vaguely familiar, but the Quakers take this understanding of all humanity being equal, children of God, very, very seriously. And I witness at the Oakwood Friends School, where Philip was a student for 7 years, and this is just a small example. Everyone, from students through the head of school, address each other by their first name. It's not a sign of disrespect toward the head of school for a student to call the head of school by his first name. It is actually considered a sign of respect for the head of school to be called by his first name, right? So we tend to think of, we have to respect those above us. And that's been turned a little bit. And within Lutheranism, even, we get a sense of this with Luther's teaching of the priesthood of all believers, which really grew out of his discomfort with the divide that had grown between priests and laity, and the idea that somehow the priests were just a little bit, or maybe a lot, closer to God. So you see, even within the church that has for centuries read the same Bible that we read here today, human pressure took over. Hierarchical structures, which favored some over others, took hold. Elevating oneself is not just an issue in secular society. It wasn't just an issue with the Pharisees. It wasn't just an issue for Roman society, and it's not just existent in the rich and elite. These parables show us that we all must overcome that tendency to build systems and structures that favor some people over others. And not only that, but that when we see this happening in the world, we should be working to overcome and reverse it. We must remember that God's love and desire for the meaningful existence extends to all of creation. We need to remember that it's not just about taking a lower seat when invited as a guest, but inviting all to the table when we are the host. We must remember that God never sets out fewer seats or hula hoops than there are people. God has set out more, and they are all places of honor. Amen.